This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Mark Dickens from Spiral Cellars. How are you, Mark?
I'm very good, Chris. Thanks.
Excellent. You are the co-owner of Spiral Cellars now, Mark?
It's co-owned by Lucy Hargreaves and myself. I think my official title is Creative Director, if that doesn't sound rather too highfalutin, which probably does sound like I spend a lot of time hanging out in people's wine cellars, really not really doing very much and just kind of having fun and having some ideas, which probably sounds easier than working for a living. So let me tell you, it is.
So we actually interviewed Lucy and her previous business partner about 12, 13 years ago. And I thought this would be a great opportunity just to catch up and say hello. I know you've moved on a little bit since Spiral Cellars, and you've said, you know, you've got a new product launching as well in terms of a new type of spiral. But can we, before we get into it, because my listeners probably won't remember the interview from 12 years ago.
It'd be very memorable.
My understanding is that Spiral Cellars started out as a French business, and then you guys, or Lucy and her previous business partner, bought the worldwide franchise apart from France for Spiral Cellars. Is that your understanding of the situation?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, the Spiral Cellar kind of dates back to the 1970s. And it was invented by Georges Harnois, who's very much still our kind of great adopted grandfather of wine cellaring. He still owns the IP rights. And Spiral Cellars was started in 1981 and owns the rights for pretty much everywhere kind of outside of France for producing and installing the Spiral Cellar product, which where our name derives from. Which is essentially a hole in the ground with a staircase down the middle, wine bottles kind of wrapping around the walls. Lucy acquired the business in 2004, and she's been the managing director pretty much ever since. And it's changed probably an awful lot since the 10, 12 years ago since you spoke to Lucy. At that point in time, Spiral Cellars really just made one product. And it was like pretty unique and pretty popular. And since then, we've now got more variations of that product. We've grown into wine cellaring in a more general sense rather than just a product. So now we will pretty much touch anyone's needs in terms of wine cellaring and storage at home or in a retail or commercial environment, including custom designed wine rooms, wine walls, wine closets, climate control systems, and pretty much all sorts of kind of products that's wine related still. We're still very wine focused.
Okay, now that sounds pretty cool. I said, and you agreed, that you've got the worldwide franchise for Spiral Cellars. My listeners, it's called the UK Wine Show. I have a lot of listeners. I probably have more listeners in America than I do in the UK, to be honest.
Well, that's good. We sell them in America as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the big markets in America?
Actually, the biggest market is still Europe, mm-hmm. because it's a subterranean room with a trap door that essentially pops out the ground. There are more difficult obstacles in terms of building codes to get over in North America. The building codes in North America are quite different than they are in some other parts of the world. So that makes a few more challenges over the requirements than we have here. So we tend to build them differently in North America. The houses over there, they have bigger houses. They've got ready-made basements that usually come in there, their houses. So there isn't that sort of need that we have in European cities of using every ounce of space possible. So in North America, we tend to build the Spiral Cellar product up off the deck of the basement and kind of build an insulated wall around it. So although you access it the same way from your ground floor, you don't actually need to really dig a hole.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I was going to say, because I remember that when I first interviewed Lucy, those years ago, she was on a second floor building, an apartment block. And I remember asking her, why haven't you got a Spiral Cellars here? And she said, well, my neighbour below won't like it. And I know there's a lot of, in the big cities like New York, there's a lot of apartments. So I was just wondering whether that would be a problem or not. But it sounds like now, in an apartment, you could do one.
pretty much just as long as your neighbours downstairs don't mind having losing about sort of 2.5 meters square of their bedroom space to accommodate it for you.
You said that you now build them going up as a spiral going up, so you could potentially build one in an apartment now.
Oh no, we can do. Yes, we can do, and we're often do that in buildings. We can build them off the ground floors to get to second floors for upside down houses, or build them off basements. It's pretty straightforward. What it lacks in that scenario is really the beauty of the spiral cellar idea, which is its ground source cooling. And that is, if you think the ground is a really good insulator for keeping the sort of conditions that you need for wine, hence why wine cellars are pretty much underground around the world. If you're not actually building in the ground, you're lacking that sort of insulation. So you've then got to build up and kind of do it synthetically. And we can do that using the same sort of technology as we do for like a walk-in wine room or a wine wall or something like that.
I was going to say, one of the things I was a little bit surprised about when I first interviewed Lucy years ago was that the spiral cellar product itself uses passive cooling. I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's pretty cool. Because passive cooling, you think about energy consumption these days. If you've got a walk-in wardrobe or a walk-in area, you've effectively got an air conditioning unit or a heat pump in there trying to maintain that temperature, which means you've got constant energy consumption.
That is the case. But the technology behind that is now very clever, and it will... And if you've got a properly insulated room, and the insulation and vapor control is really a key in the whole room, then as soon as you get that room to the right humidity and to the right temperature, the machine will just switch off and it can just stay like that. It's a little bit like if you have a power cut in the house and the power can be out for 6 hours, but everything's still frozen in the freezer because it's really well insulated. So, fridges and freezers, efficient in terms of power because they're so well insulated. The trick is to get your wine cellaring space, if it's above ground, to exactly the same way. And then, although you are then still effectively having to cool it to keep bringing it back to temperature, you're looking at little micro adjustments of a degree here and there. It's not constant cooling.
And unlike a fridge where... In our house, we're in and out of the fridge all the time, so you're letting in large quantities of warm air and that you've then got to cool down. I imagine I wouldn't be in and out of a wine cellar as much as I am in the fridge. So once you get it to that temperature, you don't have to worry about recooling it down.
That is pretty much the case. Though some people do get in and out of their wine cellar quite a lot.
Okay. Not as much as the fridge, I hope.
We've got some customers who get quite thirsty.
I'm actually quite interested in insulation. I've just built a studio. I'm just in the finishing stages. And I went absolutely crazy on insulation. I took the building regs and went, I'll have another 50% on top of that. I'm just amazed at how well insulated this space is at the moment. What sort of insulation do you use on one of these? Because we'll move off from spiral cellars. We'll talk about the walls and the rooms and things like that. What sort of insulation do you use? Because there's lots of different products out there and thicknesses and all sorts of things.
The best thing is using one of the foam foil back insulation boards and getting the really thick ones. And the level of insulation you need, it kind of depends on whereabouts the space is. So if you're already in a kind of a basement area, you don't need very much. If you've got it in the middle of the house with no exterior walls, you kind of need a bit more. You need to see where all the heating pipes are going. And sometimes we do see that people try to sort of nestle their wine cellar somewhere between a boiler and an arga. It's not necessarily the greatest place. Sometimes they then wonder why they're losing so much space with the insulation. And I think that there's a good argument to say there's some sensibilities of where you should put some of these products.
Yeah, no, I agree. The other thing you mentioned was temperature control. I can pretty much understand. I imagine you're using the equivalent of like a refrigerator, so internally. Is it like a heat pump though? So if you need to warm it up a little bit, you can warm it up, or is it just a chilling type product?
Well, it kind of works a little bit like an air conditioning unit where it's essentially a heat exchanger. But the difference between like an air conditioning unit and kind of a refrigerator is they're designed to remove a level of moisture from the air, which is not really what you want in a wine cellar. And yeah, one of the big mistakes that we see maybe architects often make is they'll think that this is really, you know, wine is a game all about cooling, which if you're looking at something for the next 6 months, 9 months, yes, that's fine. But if you're laying wine down for 15, 20, 25 years, you don't want to have it in an environment where you're essentially sucking the moisture out of the room as you cool it, because essentially you're going to start sucking that moisture out at the end of the cork and you're going to get more and more ullage because the liquid will essentially travel down from the wine and everyone will wonder why they've got bottles of wine that are, you know, centimetre and a half lower than they should be. So with specialist wine conditioning equipment, there's humidification built into that. So they all have a water supply that then humidifies the room. It kind of works a little bit like when you look at the sort of service counters in butcheries and supermarkets. The meat is kept moist. It's not just a cold area. There's like, you know, sort of micro vapors of water vapor that's being injected into the area, which is helping keep you at the right humidity as well as the right temperature.
Yeah, I've seen that type of thing in New Zealand in the fresh fruit and veg area, where you, every now and then you'll see a mist being sprayed into the and over the veg and fruit type of thing, just to keep that moisture up. You're right though, isn't it? Because when they installed my heat pump into my studio, they had to put a drainage pipe out there because of the condensation. If you've got something that's a little bit cool, if you're doing air conditioning, cooling, you do get condensation on that, which means it will suck moisture out. So you're constantly putting a little bit of cold in there. I can see the importance of that.
What we do is we recycle the condensation and get it back into the air. So we don't actually sort of mist the air as such, which is what you'd have in the supermarket. It's much more subtle than that. It's all just about surface contact. So it's getting some moisture in contact with the air that's blowing over it that then, you know, transfers that and then circulates that in the room. So as long as you've got a room where someone's designed the circulation of the air, and as long as you're getting the right level of moisture and you can manage that level of moisture, which is what the latest technology will do for you, then you can really, you know, keep a very, very stable wine cellar pretty much anywhere.
Do you need to provide a water supply? Because if I imagine if the room starts to get a little bit dry, you actually need to inject water into there. So, you know, is there a water hook up to your equipment?
All the equipment has drain and it has a water supply. And with this, you can then, if you want a little bit more humidity, you can just like gauge that up slightly, a bit less, gauge it down. It depends. I mean, some people like to have a humidor in their wine cellar as well, because the cigar humidity levels are not dissimilar. We're looking at 60-65% relative humidity for a wine cellar. You're looking at 60-70 for a cigar humidor. So it allows people that little bit of flexibility. What's quite nice is you can actually manage the temperature and manage the humidity, because it's calibrated to the control unit.
So this is your rooms you're talking about where you'll have this type of equipment set up. But in a traditional spiral cellar where it's passively cooled, how do you manage the humidity in that environment?
It works due to sort of micro differences in air pressure. So in the same way as when you go and walk through a field at sort of on a summer evening at sort of 8 o'clock at night, you see this level of mist on the ground. It doesn't usually go above sort of 6 inches, and you sometimes see it in the morning. The air pressure that we experience is very different as you get nearer and nearer the ground. It's not really discernible to people, but it is enough to make a difference. So when we put a spiral cellar in, our ventilation pipes that then go to the outside are at quite different heights. They're about over a metre and a half apart. And one is really near the floor level and one is a metre and a half above it on the wall. So what will happen is that difference in air pressure will then drag air into the cellar from the bottom, which is much more moist because it's really near the ground. So you've got fairly high humidity, moist air, not really discernible to, you know, people. You might feel if you go for a bit of a walk in the morning, you get slightly damp feet. But it draws that into the cellar and sort of puts it into the cellar a bit like a duvet. And it just naturally, you know, you can't really see it. It's impossible to see. It sort of filters in, and as it sort of, you know, just sinks because the weight of the cool air is heavy, it then pushes the warm air out of the pipe at the bottom. And that then comes out of the cellar. So It's a very, very subtle adjustments. They do change a little bit with outside air temperature and air pressures. But because the spiral cellars are made of reconstituted limestone, it's a sort of slightly porous structural material that then absorbs some of this moisture and retains it in the cellar.
Okay. So what sort of humidity control do you have in a passive spiral cellar?
None. It just works on its own. And that is the beauty of it. Within a range, that humidity will change with the seasons. But then so do most wine cellars. You know, in the heart of Bordeaux, or in the heart of many places that produce wine, winery wine cellars are quite an eclectic mix, and they will change pretty much as the seasons. I mean, sometimes you have to spray one of the walls with water or something like that, which a number of wineries would do, in particularly hot summers. But I think a lot of people think that wine is a rather delicate little flower. There are a lot of people who get very, very bothered about the temperature that their wine's kept. And if something fluctuates by half degree, they get a little bit stressed about it. I think people forget that wine's a pretty robust product, actually. I mean, it's no accident we've been doing it for 8,000 years, because it will hold its own within quite a few variations. By the time that Pierre's picked it up in France in a non-temperature controlled lorry in the height of summer and started driving it across France and put it on a ferry, and then it's got out at the other end, it's been shipped around a few distributors and eventually ended up with a merchant that then sells it to you. By the time you get put it into your wine cellar, that wine has probably fluctuated quite a number of times. It hasn't really done it any harm, as long as you don't let it get above things like 30 degrees.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And just before you close up there, Mark, do you want to just tell us a little bit about the new spiral that you said that you've got a new spiral coming in?
We've got an updated spiral cellar, which we're just releasing this year. We've done a couple of them. And it's really just the same as our other product, but it's just sort of updated. Some of the storage has sort of changed its shape very slightly. Some material. I mean, we often update our cellars because we have to change the molds that we cast all the components from, usually every sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And when that all arrives at once, that's when we tend to then do incremental upgrades. By the end of this year, you'll be seeing slightly different doors, slightly different cellars. To most people, they won't really notice it, but actually the newer ones, the advantage is the bottles aren't going to roll around quite as much as they would do on the old ones. I mean, it's very subtle differences.
Okay. And the other thing you guys do, as we were talking about, was these wine rooms. And do you want to just explain to the listeners the different key differences between the different types of rooms or different sizes that you need?
It used to be that the wine cellar was a place that was a sort of dusty, grimy, room that was existing, below stairs. You went down to your wine cellar in the dark and you searched out for the bottle of wine you wanted. It was very much a kind of a functional space. And I think one of the things that's really happened in the last 20, 25 years is the wine cellar has come out of the closet, as it were. And whereas we used to sell a wine cellar with a door, we often now sell a door with a wine cellar underneath it, or a wine cellar behind it, because people are now wanting to take wine cellaring as part of an interior design feature. 25 years ago, beer was the major drink that we would drink in the UK. Now it's wine. Wine has certainly surpassed that in terms of popularity. More and more people are drinking wine, more and more people are keeping wine, particularly during COVID restrictions and lockdown. No one wants to be caught without enough wine in their house. So having wine, keeping it at home, has become much, much more popular, and it's really been the trigger for our expansion over that period of time. And now the technology is available to be able to cool rooms, it's possible to take your wine out of a closed area where you would kind of go almost like the garden shed to close the door and be with your wine. Now you can have it as a display item as a wall, even as a piece of artwork on your wall, knowing that on the outside you've got something that looks really beautiful, but on the inside it's still a wine cellar, so it's still keeping the wine properly.
You've got wardrobes and the walls. I've seen some of these walls around. They look quite nice because they don't take up a lot of space, do they?
So you know, a typical wine wall is no deeper than about 60 centimetres or 2 foot in old money. And that's as much room as you really need. I mean, you need to have access for pipework and services behind it, but that's fairly straightforward. But the benefit of that is, you know, if designed properly and, you know, getting good air circulation behind that and good climate control, essentially you've got what looks more like a fitted wardrobe of wine, and the doors can be very, very minimal indeed. So you don't even really see the glass anymore. All you see is wine. We do those as small as probably about a meter wide. I think is the smallest one we've done was just under a meter wide, and then they can go up to, you know, 6-7 meters. Whereas again, with a room, you can often turn all sorts of spaces into a wine room. We've turned everything from guest room, showers, understairs spaces, lift shafts into a wine cellar space. There's no real restriction on size. It's a restriction on the amount of space that you've got. Mm. So it could be for someone that's got typically 250 bottles, or if they've got 4,000.
That sounds brilliant, Mark. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Chris.